It's time for a solid hour of Tea Party Power. And now, here's Janine Garofalo's favorite tea-bagging rednecks. Mark Gillar.
Good morning, Tea Partiers. My guest today is Mickey Booth. She is originally from Hawaii, and she wrote what I think is probably the more authentic version of someone writing their memoirs from the standpoint of a community organizer. She also is the founder of the Route 66 Tea Party in Miami, Oklahoma. She's a former congressional candidate, and she's here today to talk to us about her theory as to why Republicans and conservatives everywhere are staying mum on the birth certificate issue and other eligibility issues. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Hi. That's a great intro.
I can do it over if you like.
No, that's a great intro.
Okay. That's I had oh my goodness, what is his name? The comedian who sounds like the anteater on Pink Panther. I'm sticking on his name, but the guy that talks like this, and
Mark, what do you call Clouseau, Inspector Clouseau?
Well, actually, it was a comedian imitating this comedian. It wasn't this guy actually doing the voice, but it was the. My goodness, that's driving me. You know what? I actually can't handle this. It's driving me crazy that I don't know the guy's name. But at any rate, he came on the show. And I did a long introduction, and he said, I tell you, after that, I was waiting to see who was going to stand up. oh, my goodness, this is embarrassing that I don't remember his name. He was on the show and everything. Okay, well, I'll look for that while we're talking. But wanted to have you on the show today, Mickey, as you well know, because you had said something to me in an email communication that you believe that the architect, the Bush brain, if you will, Karl Rove, may in fact be the reason that not a single Republican out there will tackle the issue of Barack Obama's eligibility. Please share that theory with us and tell us why you believe that.
Okay. I just wrote a piece that I'm sure it'll be published in the Post and Email and also Western Center for Journalism, because they do allow me as a guest writer to publish everything that I give them, and this particular one is titled All Roads Lead to Rove. And it's like everywhere you look, all of the backlash and the marginalizing and the name calling against tea parties,
yes.
Against constitutional conservatives. And actually, we are all one and the same. The people that challenge Obama's eligibility, challenge his birth narrative, and we've got all the proof to back us up. And so we're wondering, why won't anybody listen to us? The proof is there. Sheriff Joe Arpaio has it on video. Anybody that sees it, how can they possibly say that? It's a fraud. It's a forgery. That it's not. And
I don't know if the video is so well done.
Exactly, and so we're all just wondering, anyway, everywhere we look, it's like Rove is there. Whenever he's on Fox and the birth certificate comes up, he calls us fringe and wingnuts and birthers. Mm-hmm. And basically, he's giving everybody the message that don't go there, or you're going to have to answer to the man, and that man is Karl Rove.
I do recall this, I'm sure you do, and I apologize for interrupting, Mickey, but back when Christine O'Donnell had won her primary, she was trying to get Biden's old Senate seat. Whether you like Christine O'Donnell or not, I like her. I've met with her in person. She's not the doofus that the media portrays her to be.
You've had her on your show.
I've had
her
on my show. And I had the privilege of having some at-length conversations with her in person. And I just like with Sarah Palin, I mean, you know, Sarah Palin, and I only met her very briefly in person, but when you meet her in person, you listen to her speak in person, she's not the person the media portrays her as being. But what really ticks me off about Karl Rove and the good old boy Republicans, Mickey, and I have to throw this in before I let you continue, is that whenever their candidate wins the primary, they expect Tea Partiers to fall in line like good Republicans and support them. But when one of our people wins a primary, they start talking about yanking funds and they make derogatory comments. I will come out and say that Karl Rove is the primary reason that we didn't get Joe Biden's Senate seat, because, frankly, he did everything within his power to make sure Christine O'Donnell had no chance after she won the primary. What kind of a Republican does that to another Republican?
The same Republican that does not want the Constitution brought up, and also, you know, they're not towing the Republican line. He just did the same thing with Todd Akin in Missouri. He actually was at a fundraiser for his PAC, talking to multi-billionaires in the audience, and basically suggested killing off Todd Akin, you know, suggesting that, and actually, you know, he said it, that I forget his exact words, but basically he says that we have to dump Todd Akin, and if he shows up, you know, murdered, don't look at me, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and of course, that really, yeah, and so basically, you know, he's giving you know, the cue for open season on Todd Akin. So he's pulling the same thing that he did on O'Donnell and lost the seat. It's like they don't want, and the reason that they don't like Todd Akin, I mean, sure, he made a stupid remark, you know, he was probably heard an old wives' tale about something, and you know, men do that. And especially men that don't wrap themselves up with women's issues, you know. And I might just say, you know, as a woman, and actually, you know, as a minority woman, I hear what the left is doing, putting people like that awful, you know, Fluke or whatever her name is, you know, to be up there fighting for women's rights. We don't want that kind of thing. We don't want government. I don't want government talking about me, you know, as a woman, talking about, you know, my issues, you know, being female and stuff. It really turns me off. And I know that there's a lot of women in this country, the majority of us, do not want government talking about me and my body. And it makes me sick. So, again, you know, getting back to Todd Akin and stuff, like I said, he probably just was reciting an old wives' tale that he heard, and look at them excoriating him. What they
WorldNet Daily was able to link to an article or to some information suggesting that there are doctors who believe that too. And we need to be very clear that Todd Akin never said, as the left implied, that it's impossible for a woman to get pregnant whenever she's been raped. He simply suggested that the likelihood was reduced. Now, I personally don't believe that, but there are some doctors who've said that. Todd Akin is not alone in that, and I think that because there are some members of the medical community who've written on that, I don't want to classify it as an old wives' tale. It's simply something that some people believe. I believe it's incorrect, but, you know, his choice of words is what was poor. First of all, he said if it's a legit... Go ahead.
And the reason that he even brought that up was because they were digging at him to say something about abortion, you know, say something, you know, about women, you know, going through that kind of brutality and stuff. And, you know, the whole thing, like they did to Sarah Palin, you know, trying to they keep going there until you say something, you know. And so I wasn't aware that there's, you know, a lot of doctors that are saying that.
I didn't say there was a lot.
But you're right. You know,
I didn't say there was a lot.
The deal is maybe reduced. I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not, you know, any kind of a biologist or scientist or anything, so.
I think it may, you know, it's something I've heard since I was very young. I think suffice it to say, let's forget about this medical theory, which I don't think most doctors subscribe to, but some have. A very few have, and if Aiken wants to quote them, I mean, I think that's his right. But the simple fact is, very few abortions in this country take place because of incest, because of rape, or because of, you know, a medical threat to the mother of the child. The majority of abortions in this country take place because the man and woman who engaged in sex can't have their free lifestyle infringed upon. They cannot be bothered with raising a child. Now, that's where a lot of them come from. Now, sometimes it's a case where a guy gets a girl pregnant and then wants no part of it. But the point is that, you know, when you talk about this, we really need to talk about the big picture here and not focus on the very, very small number of abortions that come from those situations. And, you know, again, Aiken did not choose his words carefully that day. He said legitimate rape. I think what he meant to say is certainly there are cases where people make false allegations of rape and they're not genuine. That does happen. I mean, let's face it, if your husband's in the military and he's been away for 2 years and you've turned up pregnant, you've either got to say you were raped or that it's a miracle or that, you know, I mean, what else are you going to say? So that has happened. And let's be honest. I mean, there's been a long history of African-American males on occasion falsely accused of rape. So false rape.
That's been
rape,
proven.
You have to say that because the left goes, well, maybe he's got something there. But
we are talking about women's bodies again when I want to talk about Roe.
Well, no, I understand it. Well, you went on you brought up Aiken, so that's where we're going. But the bottom line is you said you don't want anybody talking about women's bodies. I don't want anybody talking about the bodies of unborn babies as if they don't count either. But the point is back to Roe. Roe yanked his support from Todd Aiken, you know, and because let's face it, Roe doesn't really like the social issues that Tea Partiers cling to. And also, let me add this: it's not just Roe. I mean, there are people like David Limbaugh who fall in line with what the Republicans want, and David and I got into a little bit of a Twitter war the other day. I mean, I say it was a Twitter war. He took a couple of jabs at me and then retweeted all 50,000 of his followers because, you know, he wanted them to do the dirty work for him. But the bottom line is I went after David Limbaugh for saying Aiken should drop out of the race. I also accused him of needing to have a little more backbone when it came to supporting a conservative that found themselves in a bit of public relations trouble, and I said he needed to have more backbone when it comes to the eligibility issues. And, you know, he came back, well, I'm sorry if I don't meet your definition of a genuine conservative because I disagree with you. And I can't remember what he said after that, but eventually I accused him and his brother of both being cowards. And then he accused me of being a right-wing psycho. And then I ended up spending the better part of an afternoon arguing with his followers who think he's some kind of a demigod. You know, I don't know how many books he would have sold if his last name weren't Limbaugh, but at any rate, they seem to like the guy. And, you know, but there are people out there, and it's not just David Limbaugh. Hell, it's S.E. Cupp, and it's Sean Hannity, and it's Rush Limbaugh, and it's Mark Levin, and it's, you know, you name it, Glenn Beck, who's horrible.
All of them, I agree. Yeah, all of them. But my you know, issue is directly with Karl Rove because, you know, I have tried to get through to them, same like you have, you know, that Obama's a fraud and they need to talk about that, the birth certificate. And that's where you said they're cowards, and they are. But Karl Rove, he actually responded to an email that I sent, and I thought, wow, maybe I'm not such a nobody after all. Maybe somebody did hear what I'm saying. But basically, he tried to intimidate me and just emailed me, you know, saying that I'm wrong. And, you know, this was after a tirade against birthers, and I sent, you know, him an email. and then I got something back, and it was over the eligibility issue, the Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution, natural-born citizen, and he said that Obama's mother was an American citizen, therefore he's a natural-born citizen, and he's totally wrong. So I emailed him back, you know, laying out the truth, you know, and then he emails me back, and he says, no court has ever found that anyone other than a baby born to an American mother is anything, you know, but a natural-born citizen or something like that. I've got the direct wording, and in fact, it's going to appear in the piece called "All Roads Lead to Rove." I've got the actual wording of the emails.
Love the title. It's a great title. Now, let's talk about that for just a second, because what Jerome Corsi put in his book, Where's the Birth Certificate, if I'm not mistaken, is that in order for a mother of a child to be able to transfer or give that child U.S. citizenship, the mother would have to be a U.S. citizen for 10 years, with 5 of those years coming after the age of 14. His mother was not old enough to automatically transfer U.S. citizenship to him. His father wasn't a U.S. citizen. So Roe, just based on that, doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Exactly.
Can I say one more thing about this? You're bringing up Article 2, which, of course, is the name of your super PAC. What really bothers me, Mickey, is that we've got so many issues regarding Obama's eligibility. There's the Social Security card that was issued in the wrong state. It won't pass E-Verify. It's a retread. It once belonged to somebody who was born in 1890. The Social Security Administration doesn't recycle Social Security numbers. I know the left is big on recycling, but you don't recycle Social Security numbers. The Selective Service card, it's a clear fraud. The postal stamp is fake. Postal representatives who've been in, they're retired now, but they've been in, they were postal people for 30 years, said they've never seen a postal stamp with only 2 digits for the year date, because those things come in a solid 4-digit block of rubber. The 8 is upside down. You saw the videos, Mickey. They took the year 2008, they cut it in half, they turned the 08 upside down to make 80. It is a clearly forged Selective Service card registration.
The birth certificate.
Now, I was joking before when I said those videos were so well done, because I made them. But I wasn't trying to brag. I was hoping people out there would catch the joke. But at any rate, they may not be the best productions in the world, but they certainly contain some darn good evidence. And I will say that, because I'm not the one who came up with the evidence. And, so we've got the whole issue of the birth certificate being fake, the Selective Service card being fake, the Social Security card having major issues with it. There's the Article 2 issue. So there are all these issues, and only one of them involves where in the heck he was born. You know, because even if Obama was born on Main Street, USA, with 10,000 cameras rolling, his dad is a British citizen, or was, and therefore he's not a natural-born citizen. So there are all these issues that take away or eliminate Obama's eligibility to be president. And I should explain for people listening that if you don't register for Selective Service within the required time, you're not eligible to work in the executive branch of the federal government. So there are all these issues that make him non-eligible, but yet they classify us, the left classifies them all as birther issues. The Selective Service card doesn't have a darn thing to do with where he was born. I mean, and most of the issues don't. But yet, in true Saul Alinsky fashion, Mickey, they have allowed, or we have allowed, the left to create this term called birther that they apply to anyone who challenges any single piece of the documentation that supports the Obama life narrative.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, didn't mean to go on a speech, but this stuff just really ticks me off. Now, you're saying all roads lead back to Rove. Are you saying that there's not a single person in the media or a single person in Congress who would dare cross the Great Karl Rove?
That's what's happening, and that's what I point out in my article. But I bring up, too, about, the whole, like with Fox News, where, after Karl Rove did his remark about, murdering Aiken, and Phyllis Schlafly and Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily both says, you know, he needs to be out of there, and that they appeal to Fox News that, you know, that man is detrimental to that, you know, organization. And yet you look, you know, you watch Fox News and there he is again. You know, he can get away with doing anything. And so can Obama. It doesn't matter what they say. They can get away with anything. They won't even, you know, look at the fact of what this man is doing, because it's like, how's that commercial go? You know, when Rove talks, everybody listens. And what, and you know that during the Republican convention, where they pulled that rules change and totally disenfranchised and sent the message that Tea Partiers, you know, Ron Paul people, constitutional conservatives, you don't belong in the RNC, in the GOP, and that's what they've done. And you mentioned in one of your emails to me how quiet everything's been. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because we are so stunned that the RNC would do this that we're knocked back on our heels, but we're regrouping. You know, the sleeping giant has awakened, and we are breathing fire. They may, you know, go ahead and get Romney elected just to, you know, get Obama out, but he is going to be held accountable. If I listened to his speech, and two-thirds of the way into it, or maybe even three-quarters of the way into it, I turned to my husband and I said, he has not used the word Constitution at all. And about that time, he said, the Constitution of the United States. And he only said it that one time. That tells me everything. You know, this is totally establishment. And with Karl Rove's involvement in the whole convention process, the same thing, what he says, everybody follows, just like they do on Fox News. They did it at the convention. So there again, you know, is the leak that I contend that, you know, he had everything to do with.
I would argue that the Republican Party now treats the Tea Party the same way the Democrats treat minorities. They throw us a bone every now and then. They expect us to fall in line and vote with them on election day. But when you really get down to it, they just don't care about us and they don't share our common goals. We've got a lot of books that have come out in the last few years, and more recently, C.L. Bryant's movie Runaway Slave, where he's encouraging African Americans to leave Uncle Sam's plantation because the liberal left really doesn't have the interest of African Americans who are dependent on the government in mind any more than they have the interest of white Americans or Hispanic Americans who are dependent on the government, you know, in their hearts. What they're looking for is a trade. We'll give you this check. You give us your vote. I think the Republican Party knows that we really don't have anywhere else to go. That when you think about it, they can't win without us. And, you know, in the case of Obama, I think most of us were so, and still are, so afraid that he might win. We're going to fall in line and vote with the Republicans, but if they think that's going to continue to happen time and time again, it's not. I'm frankly very tired of the Republican Party. I'll give you an idea why I feel this way. I, at one point, was talking to a local head of our Republican Party here in the county, and the guy, this was, a couple of years ago, I think now, and he was talking about some big rally that was going to take place. And I said, well, are we going to call this a Tea Party rally? And he said, no, we're going to call it a rally to celebrate the fall of communism because we want to get as far away from that Tea Party label as we can. Now, that was a guy speaking to me, not really knowing that I was part of the Tea Party at the time, or that I at least shared a lot of ideas with the Tea Party at that time, openly telling me the Republican Party, at least in this county, wants to get as far away from the Tea Party as we can. Yet, when we ended up having a Tea Party, the guy shows up with a powdered wig and a colonial outfit on, and, you know, he's all about the Tea Party because they want those votes. But frankly, I'm tired of being used by the Republican Party. We swept so many people into victory back in 2010, Mickey, that wouldn't have gotten there without us. And now the Republican Party is treating us like dirt. Make no mistake about us. They don't like us. They don't like our ideas. Republicans like to spend money like drunken sailors in Congress, just the way Democrats do. Phil Graham said it best when he said both parties will spend all your money and ask for more. The only difference is the next day a Republican might feel a little more guilty about it. I'm basically done. You know, at one point I said I was a Republican first, you know, and a Tea Partier second. No, now I'm a Tea Partier first and a Republican a distant second, and I'm really getting tired of the party.
Yeah. And, so, my deal about Rove, you know, all the roads lead to him, mm-hmm. that if you plucked him out, what would happen? You know, if he were just not an influential person anymore, what would happen? Well, for one, you know, Aiken will replace Claire McCaskill. And, you know, with what he's trying to do and making an open season on Aiken is that he's letting Claire McCaskill keep her seat.
Yeah.
And the same thing like he did, you know, for O'Donnell.
Yeah, exact same thing.
So, you know, anybody that would listen to him and follow him are really, you know, idiotic. Well, we already know Fox is. We already know that, you know, everybody in the Republican Party are idiots. And the freshman, you know, House members that were voted in, they're pretty much marginalized by any word, you know, that comes from Karl Rove. You know, that's where all of the, you know, Republican establishment, you know, long-term stealers that are in there are not going to let the freshmen get away with anything. And so, you know, I think that we're going to see again another, you know, washing of the House and getting more, you know, conservatives in there. We don't call ourselves Tea Party anymore. We're the Constitutional Conservatives. And, you know, we've got to get these what they say in Oklahoma here, they call them, you know, the old mossbacks. Get them out.
Well, that's a good name for them, and I do still refer to myself as a Tea Partier. I'm proud of the name, and you know, I think again, Constitutional Conservative Tea Partier, it's all wrapped together. What I'm not is a toe the line Republican who's going to put up with a party that is looking more and more like its opponent every single day. You know, I heard someone say a long time ago that the political structure in this country is like a pyramid. Down here at the base level, boy, if you get a liberal, don't worry about that time limit, we're going to go past that. But if you get a liberal and a conservative at the ground level together, we don't agree on anything. We'll get in each other's face and scream about abortions and capital punishment and, you know, right to own a gun. You know, you name it, we'll get in each other's face. But the political structure is like a pyramid in that at the bottom, it's very wide and we're very, very far apart from each other. As you get to the top, these people become more and more about themselves, more and more about playing political favorites with special interest groups so those groups can turn around and make campaign contributions to them. And as you get to the top, sometimes there's not that much difference between the two groups. I mean, it's kind of like two lawyers in a heated legal case. They'll go out and have coffee during the break and have dinner together that night. They don't really dislike each other as much as they pretend to. So I don't know. I mean, you look what goes on at the top, and you know, where Karl Rove is, and you just can't help but think, you know, these guys are all just lining their own pockets. Whether it's on the left or the right, they're all just lining their own pockets. And frankly, I'm sick of it. I really think that if most, you know, moderate Democrats would wake up, they would realize that they belong with us. You know, they would really realize that. You know, I don't know what it is. I've got an aunt, you know, so-called blue dog Democrat. She's voted a straight Democratic ticket her entire life, and she's made it clear she's not going to change. no matter what, even though her party, the party she knew as a girl and as a young woman, left her long ago. And, you know, there are just some people that can't be convinced. But let me ask you to do this. Sum up for me your evidence, your reason for believing that Karl Rove is at the heart of conservatives everywhere, including conservative media, not engaging on the various eligibility issues. Sum up that argument. What real proof do you have?
Well, I think that we all agree that the globalists are really in charge. You know, the Bilderbergs and the Council on Foreign Relations people, the Trilateral Committee, they're the ones, you know, that really pull the strings on everybody. And, you know, and looking at it from that standpoint, you know, I kept, I only came to the realization probably a year ago that Karl Rove seems to always be the common denominator on the issues that the powers that be are trying to accomplish. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to, you know, what's his name at the Fox News?
Well, there's Rupert Murdoch and there's Roger Ailes.
Yeah. The Rupert Murdoch, who, you know, when Fox moved their corporate headquarters to, where is it, Bahrain, not Bahrain, but the new utopia in Saudi Arabia, the little, I can't think, I mean, this has been kind of old news, I haven't thought about that in a long time, but I was looking at, you know, why Fox News won't give us a voice against Obama. You know, it's like they have to hide Obama's background and the crimes that he's committed, because they want to do the same thing in the Republican Party. And but anyway, you're not arguing with me, right? That it's the globalists and the powerful people that are. That have the strings attached to the Roger Ailes's, you know, and the people in Congress and all of that. And it's like each area that you look at, Karl Rove is there as a very, you know, big megaphone, big voice. And it's whatever Karl Rove says, Karl Rove gets. And when Karl Rove, among many, many others, were trying to get Marco Rubio, you know, to be vice president, they had already made that decision that it was going to be him. And they knew that there were, you know, many of us that were down here at the grassroots level saying that Marco Rubio is not even eligible to be vice president, because according to Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution, the natural-born citizen means born in the country to parents who are themselves citizens. And that's what John Jay, in his letter to George Washington back during the time that they drafted the Constitution, that they shouldn't have anyone, you know, commanding the American Army except a natural-born citizen, meaning that they would have no, you know, allegiances, no, you know, ties to any foreign entity. And so that's where I got my beginning fighting this fight about natural-born citizen, and because of my, you know, ties to, you know, Hawaii, and I've been to the Department of Health, and I know that they're lying. I can even tell you who's lying, and it's all there in my book, which if you get a chance to read it, you'll find out who these people are. And they're the same people that belong to the Howard Dean for President effort. I don't even remember what year that was, but anyway, the people in Hawaii that were, you know, the top-ranking Democrats in Hawaii are now running the state. That's Abercrombie, that's Brian Schatz, the lieutenant governor, and Abercrombie, of course, you know, is the governor. But
sure.
Anyway, all of the criminal things that they have done to get Barack Obama elected and to, you know, take over Hawaii, I can tell you who's involved. I know all that, but that's going off on another tangent. But anyway, the same things that they did, that's what the Republican Party is doing now. And Karl Rove, being the architect of George Bush's, you know, election, he's applying now to Mitt Romney, and he wants to make sure that he can, you know, commit all of the crimes that that they did for Obama, you know, that they're going to apply that to Mitt Romney, and that's exactly what they've done. And with you know, him as the architect, who else is there? You know, who else comes up that that has all of those ties? Is it just me, or do you see that?
Well, I certainly think Karl Rove is very powerful, but I just don't know that he has the power to do all of this by himself. I mean, one of the things that I heard, for example, and you know, this was a leak coming out of the Cold Case Posse, is that they had at least three sources within Fox News saying that the Obama administration had threatened Fox News if they continued on with the eligibility issues. For example, they said, we'll come after you with the IRS, we'll come after you with the Federal Communication Commission, we'll come after you with the Federal Trade Commission. We will look for every excuse we can, not only to fine you large amounts of money, but to also yank your broadcast license, and then we'll worry about the consequences afterwards. So, you know, I think Karl Rove certainly, when he came out and blasted birthers, had a major, major impact. And again, he's a big, huge bundler. I mean, the man, is he bundled about $1 billion worth of contributions this campaign? Not just for Romney, but for the entire Republican Party. I mean, the man is very powerful, but I don't think he did this alone. And I think there are a lot of factors out there. I think there are a lot of people complicit in this, I would say Rove is one of the top guys complicit in this, but I don't
right.
think he's...
And there's tears. There's all kind of tears, you know, and he's like one of the brick walls, you know, the firewalls. And of course, Fox News and all of them are at a certain, you know, tier on the other side of that firewall, but Karl Rove is above them. You know what I'm saying? Karl Rove, and anyway, there's different tiers, but I'm going after him because, you know, he made a special effort to try to intimidate me, you know, with stuff that I know not to be true. So if he's going to take the time off to come after me, I'm going to be there to out him. And we haven't had a chance to, you know, talk about what I'm all about, except, you know, other than starting a tea party here, but tonight in a couple of hours I'm going to be on the road for 6 hours, you know, heading to a tea party down in Chickasha, Oklahoma, and the guest speaker, and the reason that I'm making it a point to, you know, spend all day and be back home by 2 o'clock in the morning is to get to this tea party because I'm going to challenge Scott Pruitt, who is the Oklahoma Attorney General. And several weeks ago, I went to a town hall meeting of Tom Coburn, and I got Tom Coburn to agree to call Sheriff Joe Arpaio when he gets back to Washington D.C. and that's going to be next week. So there was a YouTube made of the video that we got of him committing to me that he is going to call Sheriff Joe Arpaio and listen to his evidence. And he got a chance to say in there that he called the Social Security office and they said that they don't issue them by state. Well, you already brought that up and said that that's not true. But what he did by calling the Social Security Administration, they told him, oh, no, they're issued randomly. Well, duh, since Obama took over, they are now. But back in 1977 or 78, when he got that Social Security number and began using it then, you know, it was issued by state. And I'm from Hawaii. I picked up on that right away. You know, why would he have an 042 Connecticut Social Security number if his first job was at Baskin-Robbins in Hawaii?
Actually, they were issued, as you know, they were issued by state at that time. There were large blocks of numbers given to particular states. That's the way it was done. And the idea that he would call there and say, hey, do you guys issue these things by state? No, we don't. Okay, case closed. That's an example of a politician feigning stupidity. in order to put a quick end to something they don't want to be involved in. And I got to be honest with you, if Colburn, you know, does contact Arpaio's office, it's just going to be so he said he kept his promise. Don't expect anything to happen once he sees the evidence, especially
right.
based on
right.
what you told me about his Social Security Administration call. And, you know, we see this all the time. People say, well, you know, they got the 9 and the 6 mixed up. Well, the law states that if you're over the age of 12, which Obama would have been when he applied for his Social Security card, you have to go down and do it in person at the local
exactly.
Social Security office. So did the clerk in Hawaii suddenly look at the zip code and go, hey, is that a 6 or a 9? You know, we might be in Connecticut.
I don't think
that happened. That didn't happen.
It's absurd.
You know, basically, what is it, Colburn? I'm sorry, I'm not that familiar with him. Colburn,
yeah,
is that
Senator
his name?
Colburn, Dr. No in Congress.
Okay, well, you know, when he called the Social Security Administration, if he wasn't on his game enough to say how was it done in August of 1961, but he just sort of asked the general question, do you do it this way? I mean, what an idiot. I mean, does he really think that's going to get him off the hook? I mean, I'm sorry, but that's...
And I had received a letter from him, and he's telling me all these lies, you know. And there's a number of us that have called his office and narrowed it down, you know, to the people in the office and who actually sent me that letter. And they've got somebody in his office that is purposely supplying misinformation, propaganda out of his office. And I have really been after Obama and his handlers, you know, on the whole, you know, communist ties that they have. And it's beginning to appear to me, and I put this out there, and other people have said, you know, I believe you're absolutely right. But they have a communist in every single Republican senator's office and I think in the House of Representatives. And these are plants that have put there to pump out misinformation and to keep everybody, you know, misinformed. But getting back to tonight's meeting, I'm going there specifically to ask Scott Pruitt, you know, to give me a commitment just like he, you know, just like Colburn did, and to try to get him on a conference call with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. But I'm going to have more, impact on him because I helped Scott Pruitt get elected. And he knew, you know, about the whole issue about the fraudulent birth certificate and Obama's, you know, the whole birth narrative being phony. And so I thought that, you know, he would listen to us, but he didn't, you know. He never responded to anybody that asked about this. So I'm putting him on the spot tonight because I'm going to tell him that there's a number of us that are going to sue the state of Oklahoma if they put Obama on the ballot without investigating, which is his job as, you know, the top law enforcement person. It's his job to check out these, you know, allegations, if that's what he wants to call them. But I want a commitment, too, that he talks to Sheriff Joe Arpaio. If I can get Colburn in on a conference call, you know, imagine. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I do, you know.
Well, it's one of those things that a lot of people out there are content, and I say this all the time on the show, to come home and watch America's Got Talent or come home and watch American Idol or name your favorite reality TV show. And then there are other people out there who realize that our freedoms are slipping away and they're trying to make a difference. You fall into the latter category. I thank you for your patriotism. I thank you for being an activist. I thank you for being someone who isn't sitting around and waiting on someone else to do something. So, you know, hats off to you for dedicating your life to making a difference in the lives of many, including some people who don't even have an appreciation for what you're doing. But we're going to look for that article that's going to be published, you said, at the Center for Western Journalism. It's called All Roads Lead to Rove. You also, your book, I'm guessing, is still available wherever you can get books online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's called Memoirs of a Community Organizer from Hawaii by Mickey Booth, and you know, I would suggest everyone check it out, because I got it, unfortunately, too close to this interview to actually get into it in any meaningful way. But having performed a bit of a cursory review, I can tell you that there's a lot of good stuff in there. And I know you said because of when it was written, some of it was dated. A lot of it is just as relevant today as when it was written. So I plan to read it, and I hope my listeners will pick up a copy and read it as well.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure.
Oh, I've enjoyed having you here. You know, hey, don't be a stranger. Come by and visit us.
Okay, I will.
All right.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar.